fighting for America.
Russia continues to isolate itself by their actions. They're dangerous, they're provocative, they're irresponsible. This needs to stop.
Fighting for Idaho.
Of all the incredible moments of our trips to Africa, one of the most memorable was being able to bring Michelle and later our little girls to my father's hometown in Kenya.
Fighting for you.
If an illegal immigrant kills an American citizen, we're lucky to get that information out of the police.
No, what we need to do is to crack down on the employers that hire the illegals. They're the ones that enable them to stay here and take American jobs.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Don't forget 580KIDO.com, home of the Kevin Miller Hot List. Let's go to our great friend William Gein for Americans for Legal Immigration PAC, alipac.us. William, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. I'm glad to be with you. 24 hours before a very big election over in Tennessee we're fighting hard on today.
I know. I saw your email trying to get a hold of crazy Phil Valentine. Any luck?
No. We went in there. We conducted some successful protests outside of Lamar Alexander's district offices last week. And if the response we got from people driving by to our vote car, not Lamar signs, and, vote against Amnesty Alexander, honk if you oppose Lamar Alexander's amnesty, if the response we got from people in the cars is any indication, Lamar Alexander's in deep trouble. But we were unable to get on any talk radio shows out of the Nashville or Tennessee area there on the ground, including the Valentine Show, which surprised me because, he's been such a titan and such a leader on the illegal immigration fight for so many years.
Well, it shows you how things are changing, I suppose. I'm sure Phil has a good reason, and maybe you can get that to happen. You know, it's interesting, though, this story from the Kevin Miller Hot List, which goes back to Tennessee. The Gang of Eight immigration bill passed by the U.S. Senate by Tennessee Senators Alexander and Corker would have roughly doubled the size of new foreign workers allowed in the country. But in Tennessee, you actually had the immigrants getting all the jobs at the expense of the native-born populace. Are we seeing this nationally, Bill or William Gein?
Well, we are, but what we're finding is that we've got two things going on right now. One, we've got volunteer callers, about 60-plus people, that are calling GOP voters in Tennessee. And if anyone listening is interested, this is something anyone can do from anywhere in the country. Just write us through alipac.us. We'll set you up with instructions and calls. And our volunteers are talking to voters and finding out that about half of them don't know what Lamar Alexander did on that bill, because Lamar Alexander is running around telling everybody that he opposes amnesty. And when you lie like that and you back it up with $5 million that you get for selling out your countrymen from the big, big money people, it works a lot. But once our people talk to them, or some of them receive an automated call that we're sending in, which is exactly the same as the one that we used to defeat Eric Cantor, but it has Lamar Alexander's name instead, people are changing their minds because they're being educated. And what we're telling them, Kevin, is the truth, and that is that Lamar Alexander voted for Barack Obama's immigration reform amnesty bill last year, Senate Bill 744. And if this bill had made it to Obama's desk as he wanted, it would have turned tens of millions of illegal immigrants into competitive U.S. workers, taxpayer benefit and welfare recipients, and future voters in U.S. elections. You know, this is the bill that Lamar Alexander tried to pass would pretty much put millions of illegal immigrants voting against what most Republicans and conservatives and Americans, center-right American politics for 200 years, up against tens of millions of illegal immigrants ready to vote themselves anything they can get their hands on.
William Gein, have we ever seen anything like this in world history?
It's hard to say. I mean, one of the things about world history is that it's believed now that the rush of humanity into America over the last 10 years has been the largest migration, both legal and illegal, of humankind ever in our history. And it's all been, this way. And while some of that immigration has been beneficial, legal immigrants that have come bearing skills and things like that, that's been the exception more than the rule. And we've ended up with a lot of people from third world environments that have no common history or common worldview with American citizens that are here merely because of what they think they can get from our welfare state and the other types of benefits that come from America being previously under constitutional governance. And of course, one of the things we point out is that since the President Obama followed, you know, by President Bush, since neither one of them would honor their oath of office, the U.S. Constitution, and enforce the existing laws of Congress from the people that we voted and supported to vote in there, America is not currently under constitutional governance, although that pretense continues.
William Gein with us, Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. How dangerous is the invasion from the border to our country?
Well, you can ask the family of our recently fallen Border Patrol agent, Mr. Vega. Let me get his first name because I don't want to botch it, but there's another story coming out that exemplifies what's happening to a lot of Americans, even though it's a bit more graphic. It happened to Mexican nationals, they were saying, and when you see Mexican nationals, 90% of the time, illegal aliens, one of which had been arrested and deported four times, murdered our Border Patrol agent Javier Vega Jr. in front of his parents a couple days ago. Javier Vega Jr. was not in his uniform or on duty, but he was fishing with his mother and father when these two illegal immigrant, the banditos, came up and tried to rob them, and then they saw that he was armed, and they shot him in the chest, and then his father got shot in the hip, and his mother picked up the AR-15, which many Democrats would love to, and billionaires that are backing the illegal alien invasion would love to take out of the hands of law-abiding Americans, but she returned fire with that AR and stopped the vehicle. She disabled the vehicle as they tried to, the illegals tried to flee. But in a lot of ways, Javier Vega, who was killed the other day, he is symbolic of the probably more than 2,000 to 3,000 Americans that are being killed by illegal immigrants each year. And while that may sound sort of commonplace on the Kevin Miller Show, that's what I'm not allowed to say on any major national television broadcast out there. That's something you will not hear in the New York Times or any of the major newspapers. They will not mention the thousands of Americans being killed by illegal immigrants each year. We're losing over $125 billion worth of federal taxpayer resources alone, not counting what you're having to shell out on the state and county level due to the negative impact of illegal immigration. And then you've got the overthrow of the American Republic. If they had gotten Lamar Alexander's amnesty bill through, we would have ended up with about 20 million new illegal alien voters, which would allow Democrats to turn most states blue and dominate U.S. elections for the next 50 years. Unfortunately, after the defenses of the United States of America, the political immune system, which conservatives are a very much important part of, would be destroyed. Many liberals would then find out, like they're finding out now with the Obama border surge, that they too have very little in common with lots of people from the third world that are coming here just to, you know, get whatever they can put their hands on. So, but at that point, it would be too late for the United States to come back or be restored, because rampant illegal immigration and future waves of planned tens of millions of illegal immigrants is like a type of weapon from which the United States can never recover. It destroys people, not infrastructure and buildings.
William Gein with us, AllyPack.us, as we continue on to talking about just the overall crisis at the border. But, you know, you and I have been covering this. I remember when you started your group in North Carolina, the courage that you have, and I remember interviewing a couple of girls that lost their mother because she was driving on the road. An illegal who was drunk hit her, left his wife and kid in the car, ran away into the woods. I remember covering this story in Nashville where you had an illegal go in, rape, sodomize, and murder a 70-year-old woman who, tried to shut her door, who had known the person. There's a lot of crimes that, William Gein, are not being reported, as you've said, very violent, vicious acts against American citizens that the press is refusing to cover.
That is, and these people all have names. And you know, the lady in North Carolina, I remember her name was Faye Coleman.
Right.
And we worked with her daughter, and her daughter was just blown away because, you know, after her mother was killed, which is traumatic enough, she finds out and learns a painful truth that we have to swim in every day here at AllyPack, and that is that, you know, people are being killed due to a direct class one failure of our federal government to do its most important job, the one job to turn it off from doing all other jobs except for one. The one job it's supposed to do is protect the people who are here in the country, to protect American citizens from anyone that would come from outside the country and harm us in any way, whether that harm is driving over our children as a drunk driver, shooting up our neighborhood as a gangbanger, taking a job which somebody needs to pay their mortgage and keep their families in a house or be able to pay for their children's dental work, health care, or college expenses, taking taxpayer resources, jamming up emergency rooms when people have to take the grandpa to the hospital with heart pain, chest pains, jamming up the school systems, bringing in tuberculosis that infects the kids. You know, these are all things that harm American citizens. We know that it's happening. We've been begging, pleading, fighting to try to get our government to do its job to protect us. But at the highest echelons, and it is my firmest opinion, that the American public has been sold out and betrayed by traitors in the highest levels of our government, and that goes for Bush, and that goes for Obama. I'm an equal opportunity person when it comes to assigning the blame to the top echelons of both the Democrat and Republican parties, Harry Reid, as well as his allies like Marco Rubio and Lamar Alexander. These people have all engaged in an agenda where they don't care that Americans are dying. They don't care that Americans are losing their jobs and their homes in unprecedented ways. They care about serving their money masters that pay the millions of dollars to keep them reelected and their feet getting rubbed and eating their free chicken sandwiches up in Washington, D.C. That's what they care about. That plus probably keeping any type of dark secrets they have detected by the new surveillance society and NSA-type stuff and Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook. Any stuff like that, you know, live boys or dead girls, kids stay in the closet. And as long as they play the game and they do whatever they're told to do. But we're continuing this fight, and now, you know, we have an opportunity here because the new border surge, which has been inspired by Republicans like Lamar Alexander and Democrats like Barack Obama, it's giving people a chance to realize, hey, this is what they have planned for your future, unending waves of illegal immigration. Right now people are talking about it, right? People are mad about it. People need to take that anger and channel it into the 2014 elections, channel it into Joe Carr's campaign against Lamar Alexander tomorrow in Tennessee. They need to be on the phones to anybody they know in Tennessee. They need to get on the phones with us as AllyPac volunteers calling voters in Tennessee. They need to send us a donation at AllyPac.us so we can afford to reach enough voters before the thing closes tomorrow. And then after that, win or lose, deploy against every amnesty supporter on the ballot for 2014, because we need to throw a lot of people out of office and elect some people that are going to respond to us and insist that the United States be peacefully returned to constitutional governance, even if that requires, you know, making Obama abide by the rules or impeaching both Obama and Biden down to the Speaker of the House if necessary to restore the law.
William Gein with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580-KIDO. We'll take your calls next at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on time at 5.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, Kevin Miller with you here at 580-KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. William Gein with us from AllyPac.us. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Talking about the crisis on the border, here's it from Breitbart, California. Rape, death, and police pursuits continue as illegal immigrants flood Texas County. Warnings that more is to come. You're in tune with what's going on in Texas. Why is the news media not reporting the dangers of the illegals coming in? I mean, we're talking about some bad things that happened before this crisis.
Well, we're getting reports in the media, the new media online and talk radio, and of course a lot of those reports are being aggregated at drudgereport.com, which is the most read website on the planet by people and conservatives, and so it's getting through there. You're just not going to see it on CBS, CNN, MSNBC, or any of the major alphabet media, because most of those are in the bag supporting the deadly and costly illegal alien invasion of our American homeland.
It is amazing. What about the churches or the religious argument to try and vilify folks like you and like me, William?
This is only a very narrow brand of Protestant or Catholic churches that are trying to fill their seats with illegal immigrants because, for some reason or other, Americans do not find their message at the pulpit or the neighborhoods that they represent to be attractive or appealing anymore.
Amazing when you think about this, though, the idea that it should be some type of humanity to do this. Let's go quickly to Jim and Star for William Gein from AllyPac.us. Jim, good morning.
Hey, great show, and thank you so much for bringing the attention to people that needs to be, you know, people need to wake up, especially in states like Idaho that I love dearly, but people are a little clueless. And I just want to tell you a real quick story about a young man named Stephen Woods, who died when he was 17 years old on the beach in San Clemente. And him and his friends were down there with his sister, just having a good time, as kids do. They're trying to leave. A bunch of Hispanic gangbangers start harassing them as they try to drive by. One of the gangbangers grabs a paint roller out of a trash can and shoves it through his ear as the car's going by and kills him. What happens in California? Oh, well, everyone's mad because these people they're Hispanic. All the civil rights groups come out and say, oh, if this kid was white that attacked him, it wouldn't be that big a deal. The bottom line is Stephen Woods would still be alive today if those illegal aliens were not in our country. That's the point. And people need to wake up and stop being idiots.
No, Jim, that's a great call. William Gein, you know all about this stuff. This goes unrecorded all the time.
It does. If an illegal immigrant kills an American citizen, we're lucky to get that information out of the police or into a local media report at all now. It's always been hard to do and even get it documented, but since about 3 years ago, Department of Homeland Security under started pressuring local police and sheriffs not to reveal immigration status on the perpetrators of crimes to media or activists. It's been harder to document these because they know that the bloodshed, the atrocities being committed against American citizens by illegal immigrants was interfering with their chances and abilities to get the immigration reform amnesty bill passed. And so they've really tried to tighten down to conceal these deaths. But, you know, one of the things about it too, Kevin, and it relates to talk radio, for those of you that are out there in talk radio land that are fighting on this issue, you know, your time has really come if you want to step forward really with it because, gosh, what was it? In Boston 2 weekends ago, a talk show host named Cooner, who fills in on the Michael Savage show sometimes, threw a rally, and it was a rally backed by his local talk radio show broadcast, and over 5,000 Americans like us showed up at the event. We've never seen anything like it before in the my 10 years history of fighting against illegal immigration. So it suggests when 5,000 people come out in a liberal bastion like Boston to take a stand against illegal immigration, that talk radio programs and hosts are in a new type of position on what type of power, political power and influence they can wield on the ground.
Well, and you're right about that because you have the pressure from the chambers of commerce. You have the pressures from governments, Republicans, William, and Democrats, Jim, from Star, that say, no, no, no. I mean, William Gein, let's go back to NBC 17. You and I are on there, and it, very early in your tenure, and all of a sudden they say, William Gein, if you say the term illegal immigrant, illegal alien again, you're out of here.
Well, you know, I've made it clear to, you know, that nobody's going to stop me from speaking my mind as an American. But, you know, so many stations have been targeted and bought up and changed. And, you know, that's what they want. They want to have a situation in America similar to what's in Canada now and most of the European Union, where anyone that listens to any one of your broadcasts that could claim that they were offended on some type of identity basis based on their ethnicity, religion, sexual orientation or whatnot could have you or I drug in front of a commission that would have the power to censor us, fine us, or imprison us for our comments.
Jim, do you have anything else for William?
You know, man, I'm so happy about what you're doing, and I just want to know, like you said, and if you look up the story about Stephen Woods on Google, which I'm doing right now just to bring back the past, you have to scroll and scroll to try to find any documentation that says they were illegal.
Well, of course, they covered up. Jim from Star, thank you. Quickly to Tea Party Bob from the Gem State Patriot, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Tea Party Bob.
Hi, how are you, Kevin?
Living the dream.
Been listening to this Trieste you've had here this morning. You know, what we need to do is to crack down on the employers that hire the illegals. They're the ones that enable them to stay here and take American jobs. Why isn't somebody doing something about that?
Well, we are trying to do something about that. I mean, that's part of our platform
Americans for Legal Immigration supports the justice for all parties involved, which would mean justice for those that intentionally hire illegal immigrants. They should be penalized with the fines and or imprisonment available to us under law. For illegal immigrants, they should be deported and prohibited from futurely immigrating legally as a penalty for coming in the wrong way. And there's another law that's never enforced these days. It's against the law for anyone to aid, abet, or entice illegal immigrants to enter or remain in the United States unlawfully. And gosh, I know a lot of politicians and CEOs, including Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook and Michael Bloomberg, that could be charged with that. And I tell you one thing, if you were to charge and convict a couple people with that felony, it's a federal felony with a penalty of up to 7 years in prison for doing so, this whole thing would turn around so fast and make your head spin.
Well, that's
the problem. Existing laws are not being enforced, and we want those enforced against all parties.
Well, how do you get the officials to enforce these laws? That's the big problem. They don't want to do it.
Well, first of all, you've got to have an opposition party, the Republican Party, that's a real opposition party and not John Boehner. He's not really an opponent of Obama's. He just stays tan and plays that role on television.
Thank you, Mr. Geek, for everything you do. I do appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Tea Party Bob at 580KIDO. Quickly, William, what can people do in Idaho to help you and to save America?
Right now, we need everybody on board our email alerts and helping us to make calls into Tennessee, helping to fund our auto call program. We've got to raise another $1,500 by tonight to be able to complete that call in Tennessee. And then we've got to turn everybody's attention to the general elections, where we'll be sharing information about candidates directly in Idaho. And you can get involved with that by coming to our main website at www.alipac.us. That's alipac.us. Contact us through the front of the site or get on board our email alerts to help us fight against illegal immigration into the future.
William, take care. God bless.
God bless.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men.
And good morning, 580KIDO. It's Dave Burnett's favorite day. That would be Friday.
No, Saturday.
Saturday.
Let's be honest. Yeah, Saturday. That's my favorite.
Friday, because you get a two-day break after this from us.
I know, but Saturday, the break's on.
I see. Well, the break's on. Any big plans for the weekend?
Actually, nothing really big. Having been gone on vacation the week before, I got some catch-up to do. It may be something as exciting as going to the dump. That'll be fantastic.
It'll be fantastic indeed. Before we get to the humanitarian flights, the Big Five, all these other issues here, we're just counting down the days until football. We did have a little football last night.
Yes, we did, until the president interrupted it right in the middle of the Seattle game. But the good news is there is DVR, and there was a game on the NFL Network too.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching Peyton Manning. What were your thoughts on Peyton Manning last night?
It looked like the first game of a preseason game. It was good to see Ryan Clady back. Saw him just absolutely bulldoze a couple of players into the turf. So it was good to see Clady back, and I would imagine if I was Peyton Manning, I'd be happy to see that too. It was the Seattle team broadcasting the game, and they were talking about, last year in the Super Bowl, they were able to put some pressure on Peyton Manning. Yeah, Ryan Clady wasn't there. That's why they're paying him lots of money.
Indeed, but I thought Seattle was a little sloppy, and Denver, of course, it was much more important to them.
Yes.
Which I guess shows you just how much Seattle peaked from the end of the season last year to where they are now. I mean, last year they were just firing on all cylinders. And remember, Arizona beat them, I think, at home. And Seattle seems to be a different team away from the link, if you will, is what they call it there, I guess. The link.
Yeah, they're very different on the road. At home, they're almost unbeatable. On the road, they're very vulnerable. But we'll see. You know, it's tough to win a Super Bowl back-to-back. Pittsburgh, Dallas, New England, there's a number of teams that can tell you it's tough to tie them together back-to-back. So we'll see if Seattle can do it. For a number of reasons, it's tough to do.
So I don't know. What about Peyton Manning's arm? I was looking at that. He just kind of throws it and it kind of just hangs out there.
Yeah, he's not that good, is he?
I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
There are those who are in camp, I guess, from what the announcer was saying last night, saying his arm looks better than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, there's a few passes that looked a little iffy. you know, for somebody who's a starting quarterback, high profile. I mean, he could throw the ball better than I could ever throw it, but there were a few that were a little iffy, I think.
Well, and again, I mean, he's come back from the neck surgery and everything else. He, you know, he's still up there. So it was just interesting. It seemed like a lot of, again, what do I know about football? A lot of timing patterns, if you will. So.
Yeah, and the one thing I did see out of Denver, like, they got a couple of running backs that really can carry the ball. They are slashers and dashers.
Running backs. I thought they were getting rid of running backs.
I know, but did you see those guys? The guys that they had drafted and brought in the second half? There were some guys that were just slashing and dashing. It's like, wow.
Yeah, yeah. What do you make of the whole thing, whether it's here at 580 KIDO or other places where, you know, people are talking about the demise of the running back? And it's kind of interesting. Let's just start with that. You think the running back's done?
It's cyclical. I think, you know, I heard somebody on a national show talking about Doug Martin, the fact he's back. And before he got hurt, he was averaging 23 carries a game for Tampa Bay. Then he gets hurt kind of in a freak accident. They expect him to carry 18 to 19 carries per game this year.
Yeah.
Not quite as much. You know, the running back, and the fact what they liked about him is that he can catch the ball out of the backfield. So if you're a running back and you can't catch the ball out of the backfield, you may want to develop some new skills.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you.
So it's changing, but it's cyclical. It'll come back. Someday somebody's going to, oh, I've got an idea. Let's run the wishbone. And then it'll be the offense that nobody can stop.
I like the wishbone.
I do too.
I do.
Yeah. But somebody will run it someday and it'll work and they'll go, wait, wow. Whoa, let's all run this.
Well, you remember when we would do the pregame show,
mm-hmm.
and I would drive you and Alex and Jeff and Pete and Bob and everybody crazy because
Billy?
I would always talk about the wishbone, and I think I talked to Coach Harsin about it once, and I remember we had the guy on from Oklahoma and, you know, blah, 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 and I go, well, let's talk about the injury to Troy Aikman that further changed the future of college football, and you just looked at me like I was 75 years old.
Well, you kind of were. Isn't Troy Aikman retired from the sport for a few years?
But remember that he was going to revolutionize the offense at Oklahoma, and unfortunately he got hurt, and then they put in Jameel Holloway, in my opinion, the best wishbone quarterback ever. I hated him, but he was that good. And Oklahoma rolled, so Boomer Sooner.
Yep.
The very compelling stuff here.
Well, it is. I mean, I have to admit, I mean, I kind of OD'd.
Hold on. It's either that or, hey, everybody, let's bomb her. Humanitarian flights are real.
Well, I do want to touch on that before we go because it makes me scratch my head. But I kind of OD'd on football last night. My wife is going, are you okay?
Right.
It's like I'm switching around. There's only two games on. So I'm on the internet, you know, looking for scores of other games. She's going, relax, it's preseason. And then I looked at her and I said, and there's six games on Friday night, too.
Well, I think our friend Lucas here at the broadcast center said that from now on, there'll be football on until the Super Bowl.
Nice. That's the way it should be.
Kind of takes me a while to get into it. I mean, I watched a little of it, and I was like, yeah, okay. Let's see what the president has to say.
Yeah. Well, I do have a question about that. I mean, and it is a humanitarian crisis. I'm not belittling that.
Sure.
And our president dropped supplies. There's a group, and I'm not even quite sure how many, but there's a group kind of on a hilltop that's surrounded by ISIS terrorists.
Ain't looking good for them.
No, and they're starving, and the medical supplies and blah, blah, blah. And so the president decided that we will airlift supplies in and drop air supply on them.
Air supply?
Well, no, not that. We're not going to play any air supply this morning.
Okay.
We'll drop a humanitarian aid by, you know, airdrops on them. And what? They're still surrounded. If you don't go in and take out the terrorists, those people can't come down. They'll be right back in the same situation again. What is your next plan? I mean, otherwise, ISIS can sit and just surround them and wait for them to starve. It'll take another week, but wait for them to starve in another week.
Well, let's hear what the president had to say last night, breaking into primetime programming here at 580 KIDO.
When we face a situation like we do on that mountain, with innocent people facing the prospect of violence on a horrific scale, when we have a mandate to help, in this case, a request from the Iraqi government, And when we have the unique capabilities to help avert a massacre, then I believe the United States of America cannot turn a blind eye.
I agree.
Really?
Yeah.
Does that mean we have to do everything?
Sometimes. But I do agree. When there is a humanitarian crisis and you know that there are hundreds.
Like the border.
There are hundreds that might get slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
Something that is when we reach out and help, but there needs to be a concise plan, and sometimes that does require military force. That scares me a little bit.
Well, here's what the president had to say about that at 580KIDO.
I've therefore authorized targeted airstrikes, if necessary, to help forces in Iraq as they fight to break the siege of Mount Sinjar and protect the civilians trapped there.
There you have it.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I know that many of you are rightly concerned about any American military action in Iraq, even limited strikes like these. I understand that. I ran for this office in part to end our war in Iraq and welcome our troops home, and that's what we've done. As Commander-in-Chief, I will not allow the United States to be dragged into fighting another war in Iraq. And so even as we support Iraqis as they take the fight to these terrorists, American combat troops will not be returning to fight in Iraq, because there is no American military solution to the larger crisis in Iraq. The only lasting solution is reconciliation among Iraqi communities and stronger Iraqi security forces.
Here's the deal. No, you know what the world is saying? You're not the boss of me, President Obama.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do think when you know there are people about to be slaughtered, and here again you have the problem, Syria, hello, our own borders, hello. You know, that is an issue. So, you know, what are you going to do? Stand by and watch them get
right.
slaughtered? But just dropping humanitarian supplies on them, that only prolongs a problem that you have there. So, I don't know. It's a tough situation.
It is indeed. It is indeed, with the president running wild, and we'll be covering that here at 580KIDO. Now, back to the world of irrelevance in sports. Chris Peterson is in some hot water, although who knows if he really cares.
I don't know that he does. This has to do with the Big Five, conferences, and then the rest of the folks who the Mountain West Conference would be the rest of the folks,
right.
By the way. And the fact that they have given some autonomy, as it is, to those Big Five conferences to be able to set their own rules. Well, mind you, it doesn't happen right away, so there is time. And I'm sure lawyers will get involved, because there's a lot of money at stake here. And Chris Peterson made the statement yesterday in a poll that he doesn't think the big schools should play the little guys, the sisters of the poor.
Yeah.
Has he forgotten where he came from?
And it's interesting because Gary Patterson, the head coach at Utah State, now at Wisconsin, Brian Kelly, a few others that have gone from the mid-majors to the big powers, all voted no. Urban Meyer voted no. He started at Bowling Green.
Yeah. But Coach Pete, who is, you know, what, 6 months removed from Boise, said, yeah, Boise now shouldn't be able to play Pac-10 schools.
So a lot of people on Facebook smashing Coach Peterson. And it's funny, even people that were paid to be Coach Pete's friends in the media seem to be turning on him. And yet, when Pete was in town, he ruled this place with an iron fist.
Most recognized guy in the state.
But, I mean, it's interesting. You remember those press conferences. Coach, are you thinking about going to a bowl? I'm tired of you guys doing riling us up. I'm sorry, Coach. Don't take away my pass. You're in the back of the room now. And I'm just sitting there looking at this here at 580KIDO going, oh, okay, how do you handle when someone leaves? And I think that Peterson did it with class. I think he did it with dignity. I think he did it with respect. But, I mean, he decided to move on. I'm not saying move up or move down. He decided to trade in the isolation, the enclave that we have here, for the bright lights of Seattle, Washington.
Yep. Which he had every right to do.
Right. It's his choice.
Yeah. No, he had every right to do it. But I just find it fascinating now. And I'm sure he's getting some heat. I'm sure he's getting some serious texts from people back here saying, really? Have you forgotten that quickly where you came from and how you got here? Mr. Where'd he come from? Santa Clara, whatever college it was, little college out of California.
UC Davis?
UC Davis, that's the one.
Well, but it's interesting that, Patterson, Kelly, Meyer, and again, forgive me for not knowing the coach of Wisconsin, all stayed loyal to the schools that got them to the big dance. And you could argue, well, you know, Patterson's in the Big 12. Urban Meyer is so far removed from Bowling Green. The kid from Utah State, well, I understand why he would do that. But, what would it hurt to say, I think it's important? Remember, he was on the other side of the line of scrimmage less than a year ago.
Yeah, see, now I can see saying that Division I football program shouldn't be playing Division II, so that way you don't have the LSUs or Alabamas playing what's the matter you in the middle of the season. I get that. No, seriously, I do get that.
Right, no, right.
But to say that a team that, you know, the NCAA has deemed okay as a Division I school, no, none for you. None for you, Billy in the corner. Maybe what it says is it's going to be the end of the NCAA.
Well, the folks on Pardon the Interruption last night were talking about that, and Bob Ryan in for Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser was very adamant about it. But, look, we love college sports, and you're about ready to do another season of high school football.
Mm-hmm.
But the media is ruining college sports. It's ruining college football. Do we really need the SEC network? And I understand it's very popular, and I'm sitting here having been 7-8 years removed from living in the South and blah, blah, blah. Look, I love Paul Feinbaum. He's going to have a bestseller, but do we really need him on the channels where they're saying, oh, and coming up tomorrow, it's the SEC Network, and you need to get your subscription. And then a feature. I mean, let's just cover the kids. It's becoming more about the branding of the conferences and not about the kids. And maybe it never was about the kids.
And maybe at some point all of this is going to make people look at it and go, ooh, what about that nonprofit status they got?
Well,
at what point does it become a profit status?
That's going to, and it's too bad that Utah sold out, because there's another movement there that you could have had some senator like Orrin Hatch,
mm-hmm.
who has some background and some gravitas to do it. But okay, with all due respect, is Senator Crapo, Senator Risch going to fight the NCAA?
No.
I mean, and that's, look, Senator Risch is worried about Al-Qaeda, and Senator Crapo is worried about the financial system. I get it. They've got their priorities in a different situation than what we're talking about. But it's going to take somebody like that. And really, is there any, you know, crazy lawmaker anymore, like, that would take on the establishment?
I don't think so. By the way, Gary Anderson's the name you're looking for. Traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, everyone. Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. The president making news last night. We'll talk about that concerning humanitarian aid, perhaps even military action in Iraq. And, you know, I was talking to Dave Burnett off the air about this, and we're pretty critical of the Israelis when it comes to, you know, when it comes to not knowing about Hamas and these tunnels, but wasn't John McCain in Syria hanging out with ISIS? Didn't the president think that ISIS, they were our friends? Troubling that even Al-Qaeda and Hamas, as brutal as they are, wants nothing to do with these slappies just because they're that bad of a guys, for lack of a better term, so early in the morning on the family-friendly Kevin Miller Show. But we'll talk about that coming up. We'll give you the latest on that and get your thoughts on whether or not it's time to save the Iraqis again or something else. Let's get you to work safely and on time already.
I've said before, the United States cannot and should not intervene every time there's a crisis in the world. So let me be clear about why we must act and act now. When we face a situation like we do on that mountain, with innocent people facing the prospect of violence on a horrific scale, when we have a mandate to help, in this case a request from the Iraqi government, and when we have the unique capabilities to help avert a massacre, then I believe the United States of America cannot turn a blind eye.
Do you agree with the president? Let's talk about it coming up. Fox News, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.